Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here on Thanksgiving Day, my 16th consecutive live Thanksgiving Day. I want to tell my story, the story I've been telling you about Thanksgiving all these years now. This is a story about cause and effect, and how one person can make a difference in the course of human history. He was born in what is now called Massachusetts, USA. His father named him Tisquantum, and he was a member of the Patuxent tribe, which was part of the confederation of tribes known as the Wampanoag. The Wampanoag, which means Eastern people, inhabited much of what is now known as New England. Tisquantum would become a very important person in the future of America, but not before his life would change in ways not to be imagined by any early 17th century Native American. In 1605, Captain George Weymouth thought financial backers would be impressed if they saw real live Indians. So in an expedition on the east coast of the New World, Captain Weymouth lured three real live Indians onto his ship. He kidnapped them and took them back to England. Well, one of those Indians was Tisquantum, our hero. Back in England, Tisquantum eventually came to live with with Fernando George, a financier of the New World exploration, and he taught Tisquantum English and employed him to be a guide and an interpreter for his sea captains. Tisquantum, whose name was now Squanto, had changed it, gave him a nickname. Squanto was brought back to America in 1614 to assist in the mapping of New England's coast. But Squanto's greatest flaw, the inability to know which Englishman to trust, kept getting him into trouble, and incredibly, he was kidnapped again along with a dozen other Indians. And this time, Squanto was taken to Spain. A group of friars there in Spain discovered what was happening, and they took the Indians, including Squanto, from their captors and in order to instruct them on Christianity. They weren't trying to free them, they were trying to convert them, right? Squanto lived with the friars until he became homesick, and in 1618, he boarded a ship bound for New England. In another twist of fate, while he was there, he ran into his old associate, Fernando George, who then took Squanto, this time apparently willingly, back across the Atlantic for the fifth time and his second trip to England. Now trilingual, Squanto was a unique resource, and George once again employed his Indian friend to return to America to map the coastline that was so familiar to him. When he got there, he found out that in 1619, by the way, he made the shocking discovery that during his absence, while he'd been gone from home all this time, his family had been decimated, his people had been decimated by an epidemic in 1617, and every member of his home village was wiped out. All this time, plans were being laid to establish a colony in what the English then considered the northern boundary of Virginia. This is a whole other bunch of folks here. These plans came to fruition on September 6, 1620, when the 90-foot Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, England. The Mayflower's manifest recorded 110 souls on board, including 37 laden separatists, also called pilgrims. To be sure, demographically, the Mayflower passengers were an unlikely and sometimes contentious gaggle, even though they were in the minority. The 37 pilgrims treated the others with condescension, and in fact, called them the others. But there was one common thread that bound them together. Each had embarked on this courageous adventure for new prospects in the New World. They finally made landfall on the 66th day at sea on the Mayflower on November 9th, 1620. When they came ashore near what is now called Cape Cod, not anywhere near what we call Virginia, right? Their first encounter with the indigenous people almost cost them dearly when they stumbled onto an Indian burial ground and were chased back to the Mayflower by the graveyard's indignant caretakers. They almost lost everything there. This first contact episode must have seemed like bad luck, but what they would soon learn, it was a blessing in disguise. Safely back on the Mayflower and sailing toward the main coast, they created a very important document. They called it the Mayflower Compact, and we now know it to be the first set of laws established for settlers of the New World. The next landing would be more peaceful, and on the day after Christmas, 1620, the colonists chose to establish their new life on the mainland shore of what is now Massachusetts. Remember that? That's Squanto's land, right? And they called this place where they landed Plymouth, after the city they left in England. The first winter for the pilgrims were cruel. By March of the next year, less than half of the Mayflower contingent remained alive. But with all of their misfortune, they were about to discover something for which they would become very thankful. On March 16th, an Indian named Samoset walked into the colonist camp and greeted them with this greeting, "Hello, English!" Samoset was a Monegan leader. He was like a chief from what is now called the state of Maine. He was hunting and trading in their area, and even though he spoke some English, he knew that this remnant of the Mayflower, less than half of the original 110, he could tell that they needed help from someone who spoke better English than he did. So now bring in our trilingual world-traveling orphan, Squanto, right? Well, it turns out that the colonists had set up their settlement on the very spot where Squanto's village had been. And since Samoset knew Squanto, and he knew how much better he was in English than he was, he brought Squanto to the colonists, to these pilgrims. And during the rest of the year, Squanto befriended them and taught them how to fish, how to grow crops, and how to survive in the new land. So think about this, folks. Without Samoset's initial and Squanto's sustained benevolence, it's generally accepted that the pilgrims would probably have suffered severe famine over the next year, which would likely have resulted in the failure of the Mayflower expedition. What if that had not happened? What if those guys hadn't helped those people? What if that one person, later two people, had not helped out the pilgrims? Where would America be today? Think about that. 391 years later. One person can make a difference. Think about that. Next time you wonder whether you make a difference or not. 20 after. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.